Welcome to Declaration Church Online. We are so glad that you've joined us this morning. Our prayer is that you are deeply encouraged through Pastor John's message and that God would move in your life in a powerful way. God is doing big and amazing things right now in and through our church, and we would so love for you to be a part of it. Before we join the service in progress, I want to share a few quick things with you. We would love for you to interact with us at facebook.com/declarehim. And if you would like more information about all things Declaration Church, please visit us at declaration.org. Now, as we join the service, I would like to say, welcome home.
How's everybody doing 11 o'clock? That's somewhat convincing. You're better than the 9 o'clock the first time I asked, so let's just go ahead and go through the exercise. How's everybody doing 11 o'clock? So much better. You win today. You win the prize. I'm so excited for you. Well, if you were not here last week, very, very important, or maybe even if this is your first time here, we want to say welcome home. We want you to be a part of all the things that we see God doing and inviting us to join him as he moves. If you weren't here especially, or maybe if you've forgotten yours, hold a hand high to the sky, loud and proud. We want to put in your hand this resource, this book that we have worked hard to create for you. So if anybody needs a book, anybody, there you go, right up here, right back there. Okay, you gotta let them know that you really want it, all right? It's very valuable, this book, let me tell you. There you go, everybody's getting them over here. Awesome. Let me tell you what's in this book as they're passing these out. This book is full of a lot of information on what we discern to be some vision that God has put at the heart of Declaration Church. There are some really cool opportunities that have presented themselves to us as a church. And in this book, you're going to find a lot of information about what that vision looks like, what it is. You're going to hear about our goals of what's happening in this thing called the Movement Initiative, primary goal being 100% engagement. We spent a lot of time this year just really digging in and saying, God, bring definition to Declaration Church. Bring some clarity to us. In that, we looked at discipleship, and we looked at what does a disciple look like? You know, what does it look like to be established? And in that, we saw a lot of things, even down to the things of like, how are we spending our time? How do we spend God's money? And hear what I said, God's money. I mean, that's a very important piece. We're going to look more at that today. But 100% engagement of us walking passionately towards God as he's moving, joining him right where he is. If you're a Henry Blackaby fan, if you've ever done Experiencing God, you know one of the biggest premises of that whole study is look where God is moving and join him there. And so we say 100% of us as a church, those who profess Jesus Christ together, man, what can God do in our hearts, in us, and through us if 100% of us say yes and amen, God? Secondary goal, you'll see about that. It's $5.5 million, which is a massive faith stretch reach for our church. And here's the truth of the matter. We do not gauge the success of this initiative on that number. Can I tell you that? That's a vision number. It's going to do a lot of things, but the success of this initiative is not that number. The success of this initiative is the people of God just aligning their heart with the person of God and their heart beginning to beat wildly after God. That's the success. But we also know the byproduct of when that happens will be things like breakthrough. Some of you have been praying for breakthrough for some time. It'll be the byproduct of blessing. Can I tell you, there's always something on the backside of blessing. There's a purpose in it. And also, I believe the byproduct of that eventually will be a permanent ministry facility where ministry can happen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, instead of 24 billable hours at Snyder Elementary. All right? You hear me? And so we believe that God's doing something. We want you to be a part of it. This morning, we start week two. I've given you some places for sermon notes in there. I've given you some reading plans, daily reading plans. So we're going to be on week two, and that is page, in my book here, page 22, if you want to go there. And if you'll see what I've entitled this sermon, to be culturally correct, it's called Bae. Come on, somebody. Anybody know what that means? Teenagers in the room right now go, oh my God, he's such a dork. I mean, you know, like, Bae. And you know, it's not for Beyonce, all right? It's Bae. It actually stands for something in this modern hip culture. And I think it stands for before anything else. Now, in a matter of relationships, I know people are like, oh, you're my Bae. Before all else, you come first, right? Well, spiritually speaking, we're saying this stands for both of those things, before anything else and before all else. So that's what we've titled this message this morning, Bae. I want to begin by asking some questions, if that's okay. Number one question, do we live our lives in a way that declares Jesus to be before all else? And I want you to think about that. I'm not, rhetorical question, but what I don't want is for you to automatically conjure up that Sunday school answer that sounds right and holy. Really ask the Lord. God, is this true of me? Do I live my life in such a way that declares Jesus to be before everything and anything else? Number two, would you be willing to do anything for God, no matter how radical, no matter how extravagant that it might be, if God begins to speak that into your life? Here's what I want you to do. It might mean I've got to leave the land of comfortable. It might mean I've got to leave the land of familiar. I mean, I think back to Abraham in Genesis 12, which is a passage that has been woven through our church over the past year, and it continues to come up, where God says, Abram, if you'll be obedient, if you'll follow me, if you'll step in faith, I'm going to bless you. You're going to have to leave the land of familiar. You're going to have to leave the land of comfort. And I'm not even going to tell you where we're going. I'm going to invite you to go with me, follow me, and I'll take you to the land that I will show you, but will you go? So would you be willing to do anything for God, no matter what it took, if he planted that in your heart? It's a big question. This morning, we're going to be in three passages of Scripture, Colossians 1, Matthew 6, and Genesis 4. So we're going to start in Colossians 1. If you want to find that in your Bible, you can go there and maybe put a marker there, and then go find Matthew 6, and then even find your way all the way to the very front of the good book in Genesis. Colossians 1, let's start here. We studied this pretty thoroughly in our last series called Established. And I felt like it was very relevant this morning to just re-highlight, especially a few of these verses. So Colossians 1, starting in verse 15, says this: Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all of creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we can see, the things that we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities. Maybe your text says dominions. Anything and everything in the unseen world, he made. Anything and everything in the seen world, he made. Everything was created through him, and everything was created for him. He existed before anything else. You see it right there? Bae. It's in the Bible. Can't make it up. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. So in these three verses right here, I think that we need to wrap our hearts around some things, some very important things. Number one, Christ, Jesus, what do we do with him? Can I tell you this? For those of us who struggle, for those of us who want to be analytical, for those of us who lean to reason and logic, listen to me. Far more than just a historical figure, but Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. That's what Paul tells us right here. And he was before everything. He was before everything, meaning that he existed before anything else. He was there. We see it in Genesis. We see it in John. Number two, Paul also tells us that he is supreme over everything. He is supreme and sovereign over all. There is not one square inch in all of the entirety of creation in which he does not dwell, exist, and declare as his own. There is not one square inch in all of the entirety of creation that was not created for anything else but for him, for his glory. And he is over all of it. He is supreme over everything. Third thing that we can see, everything was created through him and everything was created for him. And because everything was created for him, for his pleasure and for his purpose, because of his greatness, because of his goodness, because of his glory, we've got to understand he must be first in everything. Nothing should take priority over him. He has to take first place. It's his rightful place. In other words, as it pertains to our lives, to the very fabric of our being, Jesus is to be placed before everything and definitely before anything else. He's first. He should take priority. Verse 18, Christ is also the head of the church. The body, he's in charge. We are his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all, says again, who rises from the dead. So, right there in the text, it says this, he is first in everything. Supreme meaning superior to all others in the ESV version. Verse 18, I like the language. It says that in everything, he might be preeminent. He must be positioned before all else in our lives. In other words, look at a neighbor right now and say, bae, right there, you see it. Before all else. I love the language of the Passion Translation. Verse 15, Colossians 1. Jesus is the divine portrait, the true likeness of the invisible God, and the firstborn heir of all creation. For through the Son, everything was created, both in the heavenly realm and on the earth. All that is seen and all that is unseen. Every seat of power. Everybody, come on, somebody. Just take a big, deep breath right now. Because every seat of power and every seat of power in every realm of government, okay? You see where I'm going? Every principality, all authority, it was created through him and for him. He is in charge of all of this, everybody. So if you get stuck on the 24-hour news cycle, just take a big, deep breath. God has this. And he's over it. He is supreme over it. And all of it was created through him and for his purpose. He existed before anything was made, and now everything finds its completion in him. He's the head of his body, which is the church. And since he is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection, he is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. This is the first thing that I want you to take home with you today, church. Listen, Paul tells us, as he told the church in Colossae, he says this, number one, Christ must hold first place in everything. Everything. He must hold first place. What does this mean? Let me just unpack it a little bit. He holds first place in our stuff. He's got to hold first place in our house. He's got to hold first place. He's got to hold first place in our sports, in our hobbies, in our time, in our money. And can I just pause that and say this? In his money, in his time that he's giving you, every breath that is in your lungs is a breath, an ordained sovereign breath of God, existing for a purpose, which is his glory. And his money. He must hold first place in our relationships. He must hold first place in our reputation, even our online one. To say he holds first place in everything is to simply say this, he is the king of everything. So let me ask you, as you look at your heart, is he the king of your heart? As you look at your time, is he the king of your calendar? As you look at your money situation, is he the king of your pocketbook and your wallet? As you look at your life, is he the king? Period. Is he the king of your everything? Because can I say this? 95% commitment to Jesus is 5% too less. He wants it all and he deserves it all. I mean, 18 said it, all attention basically, all affection, all adoration, all allegiance to him, that he would be before anything and before everything, before all else. I found myself in the book of Matthew chapter 6, very relevant to me. One of a passage that just stirs me is in here. But we're going to start in verse 19, and it says this. I'm reading from the NLT on this one. It says this, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. This made me immediately think of my great-grandmother's farm. We used to go there every Sunday after church. I mean, it was like you finish church in Huntsville and you hightail it to Beat Eyes and you're there for lunch and you stay into the night, right? A lot of sitting on the porch and hanging out, and every now and then John got in trouble and Grandpa said, go find me a switch, boy. Bring me a green one. It was not good. But my dad had a car that he was determined to fix up. It was some sort of I don't know, some sort of pretty cool little race car back in the day, I think. And so it was sitting at my great-grandmother's farm, and that's where he was going to fix this car up. And over the years, it just sat and sat and sat. And it wasn't long ago, about actually 2 or 3 years ago, we went back. And can I tell you this? That car was nowhere to be seen. It wasn't because someone took it. It was because it had disintegrated. My dad put a lot of value in that car. But I'm going to tell you this. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break it and steal. Keep your eyes set heavenward. Keep your mind set towards the kingdom of God, towards eternal things. Keep your heart set on things of eternal value, on eternity. Don't store up treasures here on earth. Instead, verse 20 says, store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Place true value on heaven's economy, not on the economy of this world. Place true value on what God values, not on what man values. Place value on the things of the spirit and not the things of the flesh. Because verse 21 says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. So there's a test. It's a litmus for us. Where is the desire of our heart? Well, what do you treasure? Well, what are the things that you treasure? Well, that's the desire of your heart. See, again, I love how the Passion Translation, the language of it, it says, don't keep hoarding for yourselves earthly treasures that can be stolen by thieves. The material wealth eventually rusts, decay, and loses its value. Instead, stockpile heavenly treasures for yourself that cannot be stolen and will never rust, decay, or lose its value. For your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. Your heart will always pursue. This is the second thing I really want you to take home with you today. So you might write it down in your book there. Number two, your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. What do we put most value? What do we place the most value in? What are those things? And you know what? Can I tell you this? Let me just pause. Because some of these things and lovingly, as gently as I can, we put a lot of value in our kids and making sure our kids are incredible at everything. So much so, there's so much pressure on kids today. I mean, so much pressure. And kids are great things, but like I said before, they're not good gods. What do we place most value in? What is it that we treasure? Because that is what your heart pursues. What is your heart chasing after right now? That's what you treasure. It goes on in Matthew. It says, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. See, when your heart is healthy, your whole body is filled with contentment and deep satisfaction and fulfillment. It's abundant. But when you convince yourself that this is what abundance is, and it doesn't have anything to do with the Lord, can I tell you, you're going to find yourself empty. And you endlessly pursue that which can never satisfy the longing of your soul. So, church, when we put God before all else, that is when we discover true abundance. Not necessarily based on the world's economy, but by God. See, Matthew then goes on to say, and this is the verse that has stirred me for a very long time. Verse 24. In fact, it's so important. I'm gonna look at it in about 6 different translations with you. Because I want you to understand the gravity of it. He says this. Matthew says, no one can serve 2 masters. For you will hate one and love the other. Or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. The CSB says this, no one can be a slave of 2 masters, since either he will hate one and love one and love the other, but he would be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot be slaves of God and both money. The New American Standard says you cannot serve both God and wealth. The New Century Version says you cannot serve both God and worldly riches. See, your heart cannot be divided in this way. You cannot worship both of these things. You cannot bow at both of these altars. It does not make sense. One of them you will despise, and one of them will have your devotion. That's how it works. I like the way the New King James reads because it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Mammon meaning more, of course it's talking about wealth, but it also expands it. Mammon can mean anything that you personify as your object of worship. So he's saying, as the Passion Translation says, how can you worship two gods at the same time? It doesn't matter what it is. You cannot give your heart to two gods at the same time. That's what he's saying. Your heart's devotion and desire cannot be given to both gods, both God and something else, I should say. Which one will receive your love and loyalty? God or mammon? Because whichever one has your love and loyalty, whichever one has your devotion, that's the one that is your priority. That is the one that your life declares is before all else. So it's here that Matthew turns it personal. He starts digging into some, into our devotion, and he says some things for a reason. Look what he says in 25. He says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to drink or clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more for than clothing? And he brings this example out. He says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest. They don't store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And then he says something that I really want you to hone in on. It says, and aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? I mean, you know what I'm hearing Matthew say here? He's saying, look, these birds over here, right? He's saying they don't create an identity wrapping their life around stuff. They live the identity they were created to live and have satisfaction in it. In other words, watch this. Go with me. They don't focus on mammon, but they seem to always have enough manna. Come on, somebody. God takes care of them. God provides for them. And aren't we far more valuable to God than they are? Matthew keeps dropping knowledge on us through a series of questions. In 27, he says, can all your worries add to a single moment in your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Why do we find ourselves so fixated on stuff that cannot satisfy? Why do we hoard for ourselves so much? Man, I love when it talks about Solomon because he's saying, here's a guy who had it all and anything he could create for himself, the most beautiful things that he could conjure up with his own hands could never compare to the beauty that God breathes upon the flowers. Man, I love that. That's why Matthew is saying, chapter 6, verse 19, don't keep hoarding for yourselves earthly treasures. They do not compare. They do not compare. What is it that we're saving for anyway? What is it that we're hoarding for? Is it a comfortable life? Is it the illusion of abundant life created in our own hand? Listen, our ability to provide abundance for ourselves is nothing but a facade. It's nothing but a facade. That's why in 31 it says, so don't worry about these things. Don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. So seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek the kingdom of God before all else and live righteously. And he will give you everything that you need. This is the third thing that I'd love for you to take home with you today. Write it down if you will. When we seek God over and before anything else, we will be given everything that we need. We will be given everything that we need. It may not come down in the timeline that you wish it would have come, but he will take care of you. He knows the big picture. He has his best for you. So above all, verse 33, listen to the language of this translation. Constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him, then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. See, when we put Jesus in his rightful place in our hearts and in our lives, before all else, he will take care of everything that we need. There's a story that I read about a monk who He only had one real valuable possession in his life, and it was this precious stone, a gem or a jewel. So just kind of go with me in your mind's eye there. That's all he had that he would find of deep value. And one day this monk he comes upon this traveler who is in need, and the traveler is hungry. And so he comes to the monk and he says, I'm wondering if you would share with me some of your provisions. So the monk begins to think and he opens his bag. And when he does, the traveler looks inside and he sees this precious stone, this precious gem right there. And boldly he says, hey, can I have that? So the monk dug into his bag and handed him this precious stone. And off the traveler went very quickly, overjoyed with his new possession. However, just a few days later, he comes back looking. And he's looking for the monk, and he finally finds the monk, and he humbly returns the stone to him, and he says this. He says, please, take this back. He says, but please, please, give me what you have that's even more valuable. He says, more precious than this stone, please, would you please give me that which enabled you to give me this precious stone in the first place? See, the monk understood that putting God before all else meant that he was pursuing the kingdom of God first and foremost. He was pursuing to live a life in righteousness. His heart was completely yielded. He completely belonged to God, which is why it was not difficult for him to be open-handed to say, yes, if you need this, take it. He knew where his provision came from. But through this exchange, this traveler realized that that monk had something so much deeper in value than even that which he could hold in his hand. And he realized that he had need. It was greater. Listen, the sum total of the world's wealth can never purchase what only God can give. And that's what this traveler figured out. The monk gave extravagantly. He willingly gave generously, even of all that he had. Because what he had, listen, because what he had didn't have him. What he had didn't have him. It's far easier to be open-handed in generosity when we've been open-handed in surrender. Three things, remember. Number one, Christ must hold first place in everything. Number two, your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. And number three, when we seek God over and before anything and all else, everything else that we need will be given to us. Listen, it's truly our heart that God is after. We've got him put him before all else. Last piece of scripture I want you to look at is in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I love how it begins, and I chose the CSB translation because I felt like it was a little more safer for church. But it says this, Adam was intimate with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And then she says, I have made a male child with the Lord's help. She sounds very proud of herself, right? Verse 2, then, I said that in the first service, and Kelly was sitting down there. She just went, oh, no. Verse 2, and then she also gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel became a shepherd of flocks, but Cain worked, he cultivated the ground. So basically Abel became a shepherd and Cain became a farmer. And then verse 3 is very important, hone in, because it says this. In the course of time, Cain presented some of the land's produce as an offering to the Lord. Verse 4, and Abel, he also presented an offering. Some of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. You see, the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but he did not have regard for Cain and his offering. And Cain was furious, and he looked despondent. He looked completely dejected. See, the Lord accepted and received Abel's offering, but he rejected Cain's. Why is this? Why is this? They both gave. But look at the heart by which they gave. In the course of time, as Cain evaluated, well, where are we, and what do I have, and what can I do, and da-da-da-da. Okay, now I'll give to God. But not Abel. What did Abel do? Abel says, I'm going to give from the first of the flock, and I'm going to give to the fattest. It's going to be the first and the fattest. I'm not going to wait and see, well, do I have some that are going to die off, and what's the end of the month going to look like, and da-da-da-da. I'm going to give the first and the fattest. And so what did it say? God receives Abel's, but rejects Cain's. Now hear this lovingly. Listen. This is what we do sometimes. I'm guilty of it. I've done this. Can I tell you, this first and fattest mentality, it did not grip me for years of even professional ministry. I didn't understand it. It was just, oh, well, here's a percentage, God, take it. Sometimes not even on the first of the month. Well, surely, God, you're happy because I at least gave. But remember, listen, church, it's our heart that God is after. And please hear this too. Listen, even if you're listening online, listen. Throughout this whole initiative movement, this movement initiative, here's what I want you to hear. It's our heart that God is after. This is why I say, somewhere in here you got this commitment card. Maybe you got it before, maybe it's in your book. And you're looking over it and you're like, oh my gosh, what is this? And you look at that orange box and this could look scary. But listen, this is not supposed to be scary. It's spiritual. This is why we said this is a special card. Put it in a special place. So you know where we put it? We put it on our island in the fruit bowl because no one touches the fruit. It's safe. Voila. Just like that. But here's the deal. You look at that orange box and you're like, so wait a minute. Pastor, you're asking me to make an offering to God that in sum total of 2 years. And No. I'm not asking. I'm asking you to pray and ask God because it's your heart that God is after. And while this orange box is very important, can I tell you something? The most important thing is not the number that's in the orange box. The most important thing is what's behind the number that's in the orange box. Is it coming from a heart of obedience? Is it coming from a heart that says, God, what is it that you desire for me to do first and of the fattest? I don't want to be left like Cain. I want you to have the whole of my heart, the entirety of who I am. It's yours. It's yours. This is why the fourth thing that I want you to take home with you this morning is this. It truly is our heart that God is after before everything. That's why we've challenged us as a church to say, we're going to go on a 2-year journey together. And it's really a journey of discipleship. And of course that involves generosity. But the truth of the matter, it's a journey of our hearts chasing after the heart of God and seeing where he's moving and joining him there, whatever it is that he calls us to. Whatever it is that he asks of us, we just want to say yes and amen, and we want to be faithful. God, what do you desire? What do you desire? Do you see it? It's our heart that he's after. Hey, let's watch this video together real quickly. Watch this.
We started going to Declaration mainly because we were members of Woods Edge back in the day, and I knew that anything that Woods Edge was a part of was going to be something that I wanted to try out. And after that visit, our daughter Peyton asked if we could please come back.
Coming to Declaration was almost like a homecoming for us because I think we knew like half the people that went there at least. We felt the Spirit of God there was tremendous and authentic, and we felt like we were at home.
What I see at Declaration is just a lot of people who are all in for God, who are looking for God in every area of their life, and who are looking to grow in their faith and their journey, and who are authentic. And that's something that is so refreshing and welcoming, because to have family, you need to be authentic and vulnerable and trustworthy. And I think we've got all of those things at Declaration.
So God brought Leslie and I together about 14 years ago. We'll be married 13 years in June. And it was an amazing restoration of both our lives. I think just years before we met, we had both been through really deep valleys and trials. It's just from there, it was just amazing to see God as we surrendered all to him. How he just restored every facet of our lives 10 times more than what we could have possibly imagined and we had before.
A part of that restoration was financial too, and God blessed Sam with an amazing opportunity with his employer. And part of that meant that we could build our dream house. God had put on our heart to use that home for ministry and to use it as a church. But I felt like the next step in that process was to actually put money towards a church of the community, a church building. It all started when I was reading a book called Anything by Jenny Allen. And in that book, she basically tells God she will do anything. And so as I read that book and really began praying that for myself, because I was coming to a point where I just wanted to surrender more to God, slowly, in a gracious way, God began laying on my heart that maybe that was not our forever home.
Turned out God's hand was all in it, because after about 3 months, the house was sold, and it went for the highest price per square foot a house had gone for in our neighborhood by almost twofold. And when we saw what God could do, we just were amazed. And Leslie heard from God on what we were supposed to do with a significant portion of the proceeds.
We wanted to sow seeds into seeing Declaration have a church home, a building of its own, a place where we could not only do church, but we could do life together, a place that could be used for community, a place that we could just connect with the people we love, the people we call family.
The exciting part of the movement is God's just starting. Mm-hmm. And even with us, I've been thinking lately, are we done? And God's saying no. I think in sacrificial giving and in generosity, it's a state of the heart. Mm-hmm. And it's where we're supposed to be all the time. And the obedience is just a reflection of our love for Him, our closeness, our nearness to Him.
This movement is all part of God's big plan. We know that it's far beyond us or this church, and it's going to take a lot of people to come alongside in this journey. And we really feel like we've just begun, and we're so excited to see not only what He does through the financial side of this, but all the miracles and all the things that are going to happen as a result of us being obedient to what God's doing.
You know, I would always say prayer is the key. Because without prayer, without your heart 100% in it, generosity cannot possibly be authentic. It's got to start with the heart first. And once our heart is His to surrender, then He's able to not only receive what we have to give, but with open hands, He will put so many more things back in your life. Many of those things are priceless. We've actually had a miracle of our youngest daughter, Peyton, coming back to life after 10 days being pronounced dead. And we've seen God restore our oldest coming back that was wayward, who's now just on fire for God and passionate about Him. Mm-hmm. So you can't put a price tag on that. So I would just challenge everyone to be generous with your heart first. And don't hold on to things so tightly in this world, because you can't take them with you anyway. And allow God to just fulfill you in so many other ways that will be eternal.
This is why our prayer is that 100% of us will engage. And I love some of the things that Sam and Leslie said, but man, just really be generous with your heart first. That's the line that grabbed me. I mean, honestly, Leslie, when I previewed that video, that's what got me. Because again, my hesitation is always that people are going to look at this and go, what's this about? I'll tell you. The what is between you and God. It really is. But the why. And that's really what matters here. And it's really not even about Declaration Church as much as it's about seeking first the kingdom of God. And God uses Declaration, and I love that. You know, maybe for you, you're looking at that and you're going, what does that box represent? Well, that represents my marriage being restored. That represents a healing in my family. That represents, you could say all of these things that might represent. It's your heart that He's after. Before anything else. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me for just a moment? And what could God do in us and through us if He really had our hearts? What would it look like for you to actually give the fullness of your heart to God before anything else, before all else? And I even think about this as a church. I mean, man, we have such a privilege to be a part of so many awesome things through us bringing back to God what's rightfully His. But what could God do if we were to truly commit to give Him from our first and our best? All of us have different situations. All of us are going through different things, and God knows. May our obedience to the Lord in this season ultimately reflect that our love of God is before anything and all else. Father, thank you for what you're doing in this, in the life of our church and in our lives individually, corporately, just so many ways that you're moving in us. So many breakthroughs that we've already seen, but so many prayers of breakthrough yet to come. So much blessing that you've poured out upon your people. So Lord, just continue to move. And Father, may we continue to pray and say, God, what is it that you're doing in us right now? God, what is it you desire to do through us? God, we just want to be open. We want to be available. We want to have open hands of surrender. Whatever it is that you ask, God, may our hearts be willing to say yes and amen. God, it is our heart that you're after. Before anything, before everything, it's our heart that you're after. With your eyes closed, there's a story of a guy named David Livingstone who passed away, and his family decided to bury him in England where he was born, but very specifically, he asked that his heart would be buried in Africa among a people that he absolutely passionately loved. So they bury his body in England, but they bury his heart in Africa. And at the foot of this tall tree in a small African village, the natives dug this hole, and they place in this hole the heart of this man who they deeply loved and deeply revered. And it got me to thinking, if your heart, if my heart were to be buried in the place that we loved most during life, where would that be? Would it be in our career? In our job? Would it be in our home? In our hobby? Would it be in our kids, even, as great as they are? Would it be in our wealth? Where is our heart? Does he come before anything and all else? Christ must hold first place in everything. Your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. When we seek God over and before anything else, we will be given everything that we need. And it's truly our heart that he's after before all else. God, you can have it all. Have your way. Jesus, we pray. In your name, amen. Amen. Hey, this is Pastor John. I want to thank you so much for being with us today for Declaration Church Online. I want to encourage you. We want to be your church family, and we'd love to connect with you. If you want to reach out to us, say hello, maybe send a prayer request, or just share a testimony of how God is moving your life, you can do that through declaration.org/connect. Also, man, God is doing some incredible things right now. If you'd love to join the movement and find out all of the vision that God is pouring out in this church right now, go to jointhemovement.org. You can give to Declaration to be a part of this mission through declaration.org, or you can text the word declaration to 77296. Man, we hope to see you again, either in person at the campus or online right here. God bless.